Welcome to the Old Time Dragnet Show from Boise, Idaho. This is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to us, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us over on Twitter at Radio Detectives. Well, today's episode is brought to you by the financial support of our listeners. Thanks so much for your support. Now it's time for today's episode, The Big Blonde.
Ladies and gentlemen, the story you are about to hear is true. The names have been changed to protect the innocent. You're a detective sergeant. You're assigned the Bunko Fugitive Detail. A man tells you he's been taken for a large sum of money. He thinks it was a swindle. Your job? Run it down.
The documented drama of an actual crime. For the next 30 minutes, in cooperation with the Los Angeles Police Department, you will travel step by step on the side of the law through an actual case transcribed from official police files. From beginning to end, from crime to punishment, Dragnet is the story of your police force in action.
It was Monday, September 12th. It was hot in Los Angeles. We were working the day watch out of Bunko Fugitive Detail. My partner's Frank Smith. The boss is Captain Gideon. My name's Friday. I was on my way back from communications. It was 2:17 p.m. when I got to room 38. Bunko Fugitive.
Oh, hi, Joe.
How are you? I get it. Bunko Fugitive, Friday. Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm. Well, when'd you see him last? Well, how much was it? How much? Mm-hmm. All right, sir. We'll be here. Well, right away if I were you. All right, fine. Fellow's coming in to talk to us.
Yeah?
Says he gave a friend of his $40,000.
Oh.
Kind of broke up their friendship.
What do you mean?
The guy skipped out. At 2:42 p.m., the man who had telephoned came into the office. He told us that his name was Jeff Craner. He said he had a real estate business on Wilshire Boulevard and that his home residence was on Rossmore, near Olympic. He also said that on the previous Tuesday, he had given $40,000 to a man who called himself Philip Bonham.
You know where this fellow Bonham lives, Mr. Craner?
I know where he used to live.
Where's that?
Our apartment out in Westwood, real fancy, beams, ceilings, lots of glass, swimming pool, the whole works.
He's not there anymore, huh?
The manager of the building says he moved last Tuesday, the day I gave Phil the money.
Who's they?
Phil and his brother had the place together.
Mm-hmm. What's the brother's name?
Steve.
Does the manager have any idea where they went?
Well, claims he didn't leave any forwarding address, just shoved off.
How long have you known the Bonhams, Mr. Craner?
6 or 8 weeks.
Mm-hmm. How'd you happen to meet up?
Through a friend, a mutual friend.
What did you tell us about it? Well?
Well, it's not going to come out, is it? Newspapers, anything like that?
What do you mean?
Well, you see, I'm married.
Yeah.
Now, we haven't been getting along so well for the last year or so, but I'm still married.
Mm-hmm.
The way I met up with the Bonhams, you see, it was through a girl.
Yeah. What was her name?
Barbara Witt.
Who's she?
Oh, just a girl, that's all. Maybe she was in on it, too. I don't know. Anyway, she introduced me to him.
About how long have you known her?
Oh, the 3 months, maybe, a few weeks before I met them.
I see.
We got acquainted at an auction. One of those houses out on Beverly Boulevard where they sell off furniture and things from movie stars' houses.
Mm-hmm.
Used to spend a lot of my free evenings at those auctions. Wasn't any point in staying home, not my wife feeling towards me the way she does. I didn't buy much, just a piece every once in a while. It looked like a bargain.
Yeah, and that's where you met this woman, huh?
Yes, yes.
Where was she living, do you know?
Had a room at a hotel in Hollywood, the Count George.
Mm-hmm. So go ahead, Mr. Craner. What happened next?
Well, we got to be pretty good friends, and one night she offered to put me in touch with a couple of guys she knew who said they were interested in buying some real estate and that I might as well handle the deal. Well, that's how I met up with the Bonhams.
Yes, sir.
We went out to their apartment.
They're having a little party. A
couple more girls were there. On a Friday night, I guess we all got kind of loaded. Next thing I knew, we were all flying down to Vegas for the weekend. Well, we sure had quite a time for ourselves. Stopped at one of the best hotels, Chateau Lafayette. Everybody making a big fuss like the Bonhams were VIPs.
Yeah.
After that, we had some deals together. Most of them worked out. Whenever they didn't, the Bonhams took care of me anyhow.
What kind of deals? Miss Kramer?
I guess maybe they weren't, well, strictly ethical, but there wasn't anything illegal about it.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to cut a couple of corners if you're going to get ahead in this world.
Is that right?
I'm getting a little tired of this, Sergeant.
Sir?
You act like I'm at fault, like I'm the one who's in the wrong. Now, you remember it was me that got swindled in $40,000 worth.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not the criminal, you know. They are.
Sure. You want to tell us about the $40,000, Mr. Crenshaw?
If you're all through with these accusations.
Go ahead, Mr. Crenshaw.
Right? Last Tuesday, Phil Bonham called me at my office. Said he had to see me right away about a proposition, a really big one.
Mm-hmm.
We met for lunch. Bonham said they'd just had word from one of their contacts in Las Vegas. A couple of Eastern gamblers had tapped the casino of the Chateau Lafayette for $250,000.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Chateau needed some money, and they needed it fast. So the owners were willing to sell a 5% interest in the hotel for $100,000. Now, Phil said it was a cinch that we'd get our investment back inside of 6 months, and from then on, it was just gravy. Everybody knows how much those hotels in Las Vegas make.
So you gave him the money?
I drew it out of the bank that afternoon. It had to be in cash.
Did you know the denominations of the bill?
They were all hundreds.
Mm-hmm. What happened then?
I went back to the office, and the Bonhams took off for Las Vegas. At least that's what they were supposed to do. They said they'd call me from there. But when I still hadn't written by Friday, I went over to their apartment and talked to the manager. He said they'd moved out Tuesday at 5 p.m.
Why didn't you get in touch with us then?
They didn't seem like crooks, not a bit.
What were they like?
Well, what?
Would you describe them for us?
Well, Phillip's the oldest. He's about 45.
Mm-hmm.
Light hair, complexion.
How big is he?
Tall, about 6 foot man. Thin, sort of rangy.
Mm. What about his brother?
Oh, Steve's maybe 3 or 4 years younger. A little shorter, not much, though. A little heavier.
What color is his hair?
Reddish.
The girl who introduced you to him, he said her name was Barbara Wisp?
Uh-huh. Yes, that's right.
How do you spell that?
W-I-S-T.
You want to describe her, too?
Well, it's pretty hard to say how old she is. She's not very good at judging a woman's age.
Well, approximately, then.
Oh, 28, 29... 30, could even be 35.
Mm-hmm.
Blonde, real light streak across the front, very attractive. Good company, nice build. You know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Have you tried to get in touch with her since you saw the Bonhams last?
Yes, I called a hotel.
Well?
She moved out last Thursday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how are you supposed to know?
What?
Well, who to trust? They were so darn nice to me, the Bonhams and Barbara. There wasn't any way of figuring that what they were after. They, like you say, that they were just kind of setting me up.
Mm-hmm. Well, you had a tip-off.
Yes, well, when?
When you thought you were getting something for nothing. At 3:08 p.m., we ran the names Philip and Steve Bonham and Barbara Wisp through R&I. They had nothing on them. We went back to the office and showed the victim mug shots of known confidence men. He was unable to identify any of the photographs. 3:32 p.m. We showed him mugs of confidence women.
No, not on that page, Sergeant.
Uh-huh.
Sergeant?
Hmm?
My wife won't find out about all this, will she?
Not from us.
We haven't been getting along for quite a while, but... Well, you know, she just wouldn't understand.
Mm-hmm.
Funny, aren't they?
How's that?
Women, even if they won't have anything to do with you themselves, they just don't want another day moving in.
Want to go on to the next page?
Oh, sure. Say now.
Yeah?
That looks like her.
Well, is it?
No, I guess not. There's something different there. Sure is resemblance, though.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody on this page. Now, wait a minute. That was her.
Where?
here, right here, the one I pointed out before.
Oh, I see.
That's Barbara, all right, right there.
You said there was something different about this woman, didn't
well,
you?
Well, there is, but now that I think about it, any gal's apt to do that.
Do what?
Dye her hair.
The victim was positive in his identification of the photograph. Frank and I pulled the woman's package. Her true name was Mabel Salton, WFA, 36 years old, 5 feet 4, weight 117 pounds, blue eyes, brunette hair. Her record showed two convictions for grand theft and an arrest for suspicion of theft the previous June. 4:15 p.m., we talked to Johnny DeBetta, the officer who had made the June arrest.
Yeah, that's right, Joe. Van and I pulled her in. We couldn't make it signal.
Why not?
Well, the victim gave us an ident, but we didn't have enough to hold her on.
All she did was introduce the mark to a couple of con men. They did the taking.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't prove that she was in on it. The sucker hadn't given her the money.
Yeah.
Wouldn't cop out either.
She's a looker, not a talker. I'd rather tackle a guy any time than a dame like that. Once he decides to keep her mouth shut, he can't get it open with a pair of pliers.
What about the guys he was working with?
A couple of brothers. Don't remember the names they used offhand. It's in the file, so.
Got any leads to them?
Description, M.O. We put out a local, an APB. We couldn't turn them up, though. They must have skipped town.
I see.
They had a tail for a while, see if she'd lead us to them.
Yeah.
Nowhere, that's where we ended up.
They back in L.A.?
They were last week.
Make another pigeon?
Yeah.
And I hope you have better luck than we did.
Yeah, we're going to need it. If they've moved on, it won't be very easy to catch up with.
No? Huh?
They got a lot of traveling money.
Oh, yeah?
$40,000. Frank and I put out a local and an APB on the two male suspects. We also put out a bulletin on the female suspect, Mabel Salton. But we requested that in her case, no arrest be made. We asked to be contacted in the event that she was located. From Johnny DeBetta, we learned that the Salton woman had also met the previous victim at an auction. Auctioneers and owners of auction houses were told to notify us if they saw the suspect. We talked to the manager of the apartment where the male suspects had lived and to check the clerk at the Count George Hotel. They were unable to help us. We contacted Las Vegas and learned that the Chateau Lafayette was in excellent financial condition. We also contacted CII up at Sacramento to see if they could give us an identification of the male suspect. We received a negative response. No new leads developed. 5 weeks passed. Wednesday, October 19th, 9:46 a.m. Bunko Fugitive, Friday. Yes, sir. That's right. When? I see. Thank you very much. Goodbye. Tenture Auction House out on 3rd Street.
Yeah?
Auctioneer says he sold a couple of lamps to an old customer last night.
Who?
Mabel Salton. Frank and I drove out to the Tenture Auction Gallery on West 3rd. We showed the auctioneer a mugshot of Mabel Salton, and he said he was positive she was the woman he had seen the previous night. We went back to the office and had a conference with the skipper.
You're sure picking her up won't do any good?
Well, it didn't before, Captain.
Yeah.
Of course, this might not work either. We don't even know if her pals are back in town.
Well, how do you plan to make the contact?
Hang out at auctions, do a lot of bidding, let her think I'm loaded.
I don't know. May it be better if Smith went undercover this time. He looks more like a mark to me.
Well, wait a minute, Skipper.
Oh, you know what I mean.
Well, I know.
I'm afraid using Smith would give us a problem, Captain.
Yeah?
Take another look at her picture.
Not bad, is she?
No, that's the trouble.
Hmm?
Smith's got a wife. Arrangements were made for me to assume the name of Joe Fawcett. I took a room at a hotel in Hollywood and established myself as a businessman recently arrived from Chicago. Auction houses were told that I would be bidding on various items, and if my bid was accepted, the item was to be re-auctioned at some future date, and any loss incurred would be made good. During the next week, I attended 4 auctions. The woman suspect, Mabel Salton, was present at 2 of them. Thursday, October 27th, 9:42 p.m., I attended the 5th auction. It was at the Tenture Gallery. I managed to get a seat next to the suspect.
I have $45. I have $25. Who'll make it 30? Who'll make it 30? Well, ladies and gentlemen, a mirror like this costs over $100 in any retail store. 25. Who'll give 30?
30.
Don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, this mirror belonged to one of America's most glamorous actresses, Miss Nora Wetless. You've all seen her dozens of times on the screen. Here's your chance to buy one of her personal possessions. And don't forget where this mirror was hung. In Nora's bedroom. All right, now we'll make it 30. I have 25. Who'll give 30?
30 here.
Thank you, sir. There's a gentleman who appreciates the finer things. I have 30. You only want that 30?
35.
35, who'll give 40? 35, who'll give 40? How about it, sir? What are you taking away from you?
If you really want it, it doesn't matter that much to me.
Well, that's very kind of you.
I do all that. 35, what? 35, twice. So, the way to 35. And now, ladies and gentlemen. Our next item is a very unusual
piece.
It was designed
to... Thanks for letting my
guests
stand.
That's all right, forget it.
If there's any way I can pay you back, maybe you'd let me buy you a drink after the auction.
No, that isn't necessary. I didn't even want that mirror anyway.
I'd like to, unless you're busy.
No, not a bit. You've got a customer.
Now, you see how hard it is for them to lift it? Shows you the quality of the model. All right, boys, better set it down now again before you
sing
yourself.
Haven't you been
somewhere
else, sir? A
couple of them, yeah.
Right, I thought you looked familiar. Come to think of it, I remember the things you bought.
Is that right?
Yeah, very good taste.
Thank you.
I just love these options. Of course, I always end up buying a lot of things I don't need.
Well, that happens to me, too.
And afterwards, you feel so darn foolish, but there's nothing you can do. By then, it's too late.
Yeah, same here.
Well, that's true. There isn't properly treated first. But this table will never show a thing, no matter what you want.
Yes, we have something in common, don't we, Mr.?
I'm 40 minutes.
Joe Fawcett.
Now, I'm Mona Eastman.
How do you do?
Very nice to meet you, Mr. Fawcett.
No, the pleasure's all mine. p.m. We left the auction and drove over to the suspect's apartment. It was on the second floor of a two-story building just off Olympic Boulevard.
Why is that over there, Joe? You'll take charge while I get out of my coat.
You bet. Scotch or bourbon?
It doesn't matter. Whatever you're having.
Hey.
Is the ice all melted?
No, there's a little left here.
That's good. I'm really awfully glad you could drop by.
So am I. Where's your drink?
Oh, thanks. Well, cheers.
Cheers. Strong enough, wife?
That's just the way I like it. Why don't we sit down?
Sure.
Where's your home, Joe?
Well, I really don't have one yet.
Oh?
I got a hotel room over in Hollywood. I've been staying there for the last few days.
What about all these things you've been buying? The auction?
Oh, they're all for my new place. It hasn't come out of escrow yet.
I see.
It's out in Bel Air. If they hurry up and let me move in, for all I know, I may be getting too much stuff. I don't know what you need to furnish your house.
Well, isn't your wife? I mean...
Oh, I'm not married, Mona. Not anymore.
I see.
We broke up about a year ago.
Funny.
What's that?
That's when it happened to me. Just a year ago.
Is that so?
Maybe we have a little too much in common.
Yeah.
She hurt you, didn't she, Joe?
Well...
I can see it in your eyes. You have very sad eyes. Soft and thoughtful.
Oh, I don't know.
I think you can tell a lot about a person from your eyes.
You do, huh?
That's the first thing I notice about somebody. What do you notice, Joe?
Well, I guess I never thought too much about it, tell you the truth.
What did you notice first with me? Well?
Well, I guess it was your voice.
Oh?
You know, when you were bidding, I think that's what I noticed first.
I don't know whether that's a compliment or not.
Well, you have a very pleasant voice, Mona. Very pleasant.
George didn't think so.
Who?
My husband.
Oh.
He said I whined and nagged and made life miserable for him. Why'd you split up?
This didn't work out.
You think you'll ever try it again?
Oh, I don't know. It's pretty hard to say.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Well, just lots of people make mistakes.
Yeah, sure.
You need a freshener?
No, I have plenty here. Fix you up?
Yes, please. You don't drink very much, do you?
No, I just don't feel like it tonight.
Oh. Is it the company?
No, of course not.
I'm sorry if I was sort of forced you into taking me home.
Why, don't be silly.
I just felt it. You didn't look very happy, and I thought maybe we both needed to be with someone else for a change.
Sure. Yeah.
Thanks. What line are you in, Joe?
What's that?
What's your business?
Well, nothing right now. I guess you might say I'm unemployed.
Huh?
I had a company of my own back in Chicago, Texel Manufacturing. I sold it when we split up.
What are you going to do now?
Oh, I'm sort of looking around. I got a little cash enough to get by on.
Oh?
The right thing turns up, I guess I might go into it.
I suppose it's hard to tell what to put your money into nowadays.
Yeah, well, there's no hurry.
You know, that reminds me.
Hmm?
If you really do want to get into something good...
Yeah?
I know a couple of businessmen. Oh, they're not close friends or anything like that, but they have some excellent contacts.
Is that so?
I'm sure they could put you into something that would give you a nice return on your investment.
Well, it wouldn't do any harm to talk to them, would it?
I'm afraid you can't right now.
Why not?
They're out of town. Too bad, isn't it?
Yeah, sure is. The Salton woman told me she'd let me know as soon as her friends returned to Los Angeles. During the next 10 days, I saw her on several occasions. As far as I could tell, the so-called Bonham brothers were still out of town. Tuesday, November 8th, 8:40 p.m. I was in my hotel room. Hello. Yes, Mona. Well, how about tonight? Sure, I'll pick you up. About 9:30? Fine. Bye. You want to get me Michigan 5211, please? That's right. Extension 2572. That's right. Extension 2572. Smith there? This is Joe. Yeah, I just heard from her. Better get over to bed and have him stand by. Tonight, says they just blew into town. Over the phone, the Salton woman had told me her two business acquaintances had returned to Los Angeles. I was to meet them that night. Frank and Johnny the better made arrangements to tail my car. 9:28 p.m. I picked up the female suspect. She told me her friends had rooms in the St. Clair Hotel over on Figueroa. We drove over there. It was 9:42 when we arrived. We went up to room 417. She introduced me to two men who matched the description of the male suspects we were looking for. They said their names were Tom and Fred Porst.
Sure is nice to meet you, Mr. Fawcett. Mona's been telling us about you. It seems you've made quite a hit with her.
Is that so? She told me about you fellas, too.
Now you've got to understand one thing.
What's that?
Anything we discuss in the business line, that is, well, it's got to be confidential.
Well, sure.
You see, my brother and I, we don't make a practice of taking outside investments, right, Fred?
Right.
Matter of fact, we don't even need any outside capital at the moment. We've sort of got a surplus.
Oh, I see. Well, maybe some other time then, huh? Nice to meet you.
What's your hurry, Fawcett?
Well, you said that...
I said we don't need any capital.
Yeah.
Well, we might make an exception in your case, though.
Oh?
On account of Mona.
Well, I want you to put yourselves out. Something else will turn up.
Now, wait a minute. I was just thinking.
What's that?
Well, it never hurts to spread a good thing around. You got any plans for this Saturday?
Well, I don't know. What do you have in mind?
Well, I thought we might fly down to Vegas. Get us a couple of grills. You can bring along Mona.
Why Vegas?
Oh, we got a friend down there. He made a killing at the crap tables a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Stuck it in $1,000 bills.
Oh.
Now, he sort of forgot to mention it on his income tax, and now he could use the loot, but he's afraid to cash in the bills himself.
Yeah, I see.
He might be willing to sell them to us at a discount. Are you interested?
No, not very.
Why not?
An old con game like that.
What?
Well, this is the best you can do. The $1,000 bill routine's got whiskers on it. I should have known.
What are you talking about? How would you know? Listen, Fawcett. What are you doing here anyway? Why'd you want to meet us?
I was kind of curious about how you boys work. I heard a lot about you.
Huh?
Thought maybe I could pick up a new angle or two. Looks like I was wrong. Well, what's the joke?
Oh, don't you see? He was just checking up on our pitch.
Yeah?
Well, he's a con man, too. Oh, you really pulled one this time, Mona. Think of the pro for a mark.
How was I supposed to know?
Well, just one look. You should have been able to dump later some nose on your face.
It is, huh?
Sure. Don't take it to heart, buddy. You might fool the suckers, but I'm in the same racket. Well, I should have guessed it when you walked in the door. It's written all over you.
Yeah.
Where have you been pitching lately?
City Hall.
Huh?
I'm a police officer. You're under arrest.
The story you've just heard is true. The names were changed to protect the innocent.
On February 2nd, trial was held in Department 98, Superior Court of the State of California in and for the County of Los Angeles. In a moment, the results of that trial. Mabel Harris Thornton was tried and convicted of grand theft, one count, and received sentence as prescribed by law. Thomas Herbert Forst and Fred James Forst, alias Philip and Steve Bonham, were tried and convicted of grand theft, two counts, and received sentence as prescribed by law. Grand theft is punishable by imprisonment in the county jail for not more than 1 year, or in the state prison for not less than one, nor more than 10 years.
Welcome back. It was funny him, the con man, making the statement that it was obvious that Joe Friday was a con man before, of course, finding out he was an undercover policeman. Wasn't quite sure why Friday engaged in that little brief charade there, other than toy with the criminal a little bit. What I think was funny about it is that everyone, or a lot of people, when I read reviews and thoughts on Dragnet, is the idea that Joe Friday undercover was absurd because he was obviously a cop. I think there may be something to this when you get into the 1960s shows. At the beginning of the 1967 Dragnet show, he's 46, 47, pushing 50, and has kind of a straight-laced look about him. So in the 1950s, I don't think it's so much of an issue. 50s definitely... much more a world of people who wore suits, kind of dressed up more, and he was a much younger man at the time. And of course, people who had watched a lot of Dragnet would think Joe Friday is obviously a cop, because Joe Friday came to symbolize policemen for those who were longtime viewers of the show. So I think our biases towards the Friday character can color our perception that he's perhaps a tad too conspicuous undercover. Well, we turn now to listener comments and feedback, and we have this from Joan, who writes, the Dragnet show on Saturday, which doesn't download for me until Sunday. I enjoyed the show, the Big Trunk TV soundtrack. I could almost see the men sweating it out as they were discussing what they did in her room and the possible fact that the room was bugged. And I think that one is, that's with good reason, because that one was originally a radio script. She goes on to say, I can hardly believe the end of Dragnet is near. I'll miss this show very much. When you go back to Dragnet on the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio, will you be starting from the first show? Yes, absolutely, and I'll be very glad to do that. When I first started this program, all I had of Dragnet was a disc containing old-time radio programs that had all been encoded at 24 kbps. Now, without getting technical, probably when you're looking at decent average quality, 32 kbps is, to me, that's kind of average. So these were below average encodes and oftentimes played in some weird ways, particularly when I tried recording the Dragnet program live, ended up with some echoes. So we're going to be able to bring you some better quality. Plus, in the course of a little less than 6 years now, I've gotten better at what I do here as the host, so I'll be a better host for those episodes. So I'll look forward to that. And there are a couple other features I'm thinking about doing, but I'll talk about that more when we get to that time, which is still a year and a half away. She goes on to say, you say Dragnet is your favorite program and is mine too. I'm so glad you have given us all these years of Dragnet. Thank you, Adam. And she mentions that she's also got the Dragnet videos she can watch, enjoy, and space them. Myself, I've been thinking about going through the 1960s episodes, at least the best of. I don't know if I'll watch all of them again. There were a few, mostly in the third season. I made a list of shows that I thought were not all that good, and most of them fell during the third season. But I have thought about revisiting them, including the 1966 TV movie, once we're done with the Dragnet show. All right, well, that will do it for today. Join us back here next week for another episode of Dragnet. I should mention that we will be bringing you something special. I've mentioned we're adding a procedural program to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio, and I'll be providing you a preview of that this coming Wednesday. We'll replay what was played on the Dragnet podcast, or the Great Detectives podcast, so you can sample it, see how you like it. And I've also be setting up a feed where you can just subscribe to the procedural shows if you don't want the Johnny Dahl or Sherlock Holmes, all that. Send your comments to Box 13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives, and call us 208-991-4783. But from Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.